The Sober Sojourn's 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast features recovered men and women who are practicing members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous or any 12-step program. We are friends gathered to discuss our experience in recovery. The discussions in this podcast represent our own individual experiences and opinions as of today. You can reach us at our email address, which is sobersojournspodcast@gmail.com, or on Instagram at OyveAA and Such a Sally. We would love to hear from you. Our aim is to try to be helpful by sharing the realities of our recovery, how we have recovered and are trudging the road of happy destiny wherever we go.
Pirate Mike and Oy Vey AA presents the Sober Sojourns 12 Steps and Passport Stamps podcast.
Every time, because I don't expect you to say yalla.
Yalla, yalla balagan, yalla,
yes.
Let's go.
Welcome back.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And excited for this recording, because we're going to be starting our new like mini episode series more about not alcoholism per se, but more about places that we've been, experiences that we've had, and so yeah, today we're going to be talking about Rome, more about Rome, which I'm very interested in since it's already been featured a couple times in previous discussions. So how did you get to Rome?
Oh man, first of all, this is such a great thing that we're trying to do. I feel like it comes from the need to diversify and also maybe our laziness as to not speaking for an hour and a half and then me editing it. So we're gonna try and keep it short.
Our laziness. Yeah. Our laziness.
Our laziness, which is my laziness. No, this is great. So yeah, I guess that this again kind of stems from more about alcoholism. That's the pun, right? And I think that there are specific spots and topics well, Mike, you refer to it as like Oy Vey AA flexes, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, certain experiences like you have, like, the random painting that you might have seen.
Oh, yeah, the Sistine Chapel. I don't know how heavily this is going to be featured in this episode. No, because as you said, there are experiences, travel experiences that we both had that we don't really touch on or don't really know how to touch on a full-length episode. So this is it. I'm excited for Rome. I am prepared, as always. I have my little notes here that I'm going to forget all about in 5 minutes.
Yeah, the spirit will take you where it wants to go.
Yes, the baby Jesus spirit. I mean, we're talking about Rome, so there's going to be a lot of Christianity featured. No, Rome, got it. Where do I start, Pirate Mike? Where to start with this?
What was the reason, I guess, for getting to Rome and then first impressions when you got there?
I first got to Rome, actually, I want to say almost 6 years ago. And I was there just for a few days. I was drunk.
Yes.
That was the first experience. I remember being very blown away by it. And still I was, I remember I was at a bar. Am I underage at this point? No, I'm not underage. Okay. Let me just clarify.
Let's be clear.
I mean, by US standards, I was underage, but anyway,
by European standards though.
By the rest of the world standards.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, no shitting on America in this episode. Actually, you know what? Let's see. No, actually, now I have this experience I didn't think I was going to talk about, but getting drunk in a bar with a bunch of Japanese tourists and Irish tourists and starting to like sing together. And at a certain point, we start singing Leonard Cohen.
Oh,
As you
man.
do in a bar in Rome. But that's it was a very different experience than it was the last time I was there, which was sometime in the last 2 years. I can't remember the exact time, but it was a part of my backpacking fiasco. I spent, which I guess I said already in this podcast, right, that I backpacked for a couple of years. So Rome came right after Switzerland. So I actually Rome, I flew to Rome, which kind of ended my planes, trains and automobiles. No, that's not the joke. There was a lot of trains and buses prior to Rome. And yeah, I got to Rome, and I spent a good amount of time there. I spent almost, I would say, 2.5 months just in the
Okay.
city.
Yeah.
And it's, oh God. And so in preparation of this, I got a chance to look back at some photos and some journals and stuff.
Yeah.
And it just brought me back to that time and how beautifully romantic that city is. It's very easy. Yeah. It's
Yeah.
very easy to romanticize. And even though most of Rome, it's a big city, right? Most of Rome doesn't look like the historic center of Rome, right? Most of Rome is just a regular ass city, but
Oh, okay.
yeah, it's a quite a big city. I would say it's probably like the fourth or the fifth largest city in Europe in terms of population. But yeah, it's just a wow. So yeah, so in preparation of this, going back, I got a chance to look at some journals and some photos, and I found something I wrote. We'll see if I cut this out. But that I wrote about Rome in one of my travel journals.
Is it a poem? I'm getting so excited. Is it a poem or like a
it's,
journal
I don't
entry?
think it's a poem, but it's more of a journal entry. So I ended up in Rome again, certainly not expecting my travels to lead me here, but indeed it seems that all roads lead to Rome. No matter which empires will rise or fall, Rome will remain the greatest city in the world. For me, it feels like everything here is more. You laugh more and love more and live more, more loudly and passionately and fiercely. Happiness is certainly a byproduct of your actions and the commitment to one's individual path, but carbonara in the eternal city surely helps. As Nathaniel Hothera wrote in his book, I sometimes fancy that Rome will crowd everything else out of my heart. So that was the vibe.
That is, I mean, it's poetic, and that's beautiful. That was a journal entry.
Yeah.
You sure there wasn't like a published review somewhere? Like, were you planning on like a travelogue? That was gorgeous. Yeah.
No, I actually got the chance to post this. Thank you, by the way. It's there was something really romantic about it. For me, it kind of tied into my own personal story. And again, I think that these episodes are going to be interesting because, as we mentioned, certain places, it might be really personal for us, right? Because I
Yeah.
can't wait to hear you talk about LA. It's like it meant a lot to me to get to Rome. It was something I dreamed of to do a lot of time in Rome, and I had a God, how do I broach this? So, this sense of sobriety that I have came after a really difficult time where I was sober before. I can't really say I was sober. I was not working steps, not having a sponsor, not doing the work. But I was clean. And then I met someone and we fell in love. And it fell apart. And I went back out and I almost died over it. And then I was single for a long time and I was traveling alone for a long time. But when I got to Rome, I met someone and I had what you call a Roman love affair with an Italian doctor. So that was a
Oh,
big part
wow.
of the, yeah. Was a big part of the Rome vibe for sure. Yeah.
You can't. I'm sorry, did this story just end? Like, what is, you just stopped at mid-movie. I feel like there needs to be more about the, you're shortchanging everything, but it's your prerogative.
Oh man, no, it was great. It was funny because he was an Italian doctor, and his English wasn't great, and my Italian was quite lacking, so I couldn't.
I'm just like, but you spoke the language of love, and then that's what you get in common.
Honestly, you say it as a joke, but I told him, listen, talk to me in Italian. It doesn't matter that I don't understand. Just talk to me in Italian. It's fine. And yeah, that was actually it was actually spot on. So so it was just a part of the vibe for me to I think a part of my journey was I backpacked alone for a long time. I was single for a long time, and then I met this guy, and it was like, oh, I can have that part of my life be awakened again from a place that is very, was very empowering. It was a very empowering experience. Yeah.
Got it.
Very empowering. That whole love affair in Rome with the Italian doctor. God, it was like a such a movie like time in Rome, because I made it to Rome. And I went my first day. I went to the Trevi Fountain, and there's this myth: if you throw money into the Trevi Fountain, I don't know, like a few times, there's like your wish will come true. So I was like, I wish to fall in love in Rome, and like the day after, I met this guy. So it was like the universe
Jesus
being
H.
like,
Christ. That is like, I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I've seen all these movies. You know what I mean? Like the singing and the, I'm like, oh, she threw in some Casablanca in there. And then there's not only you and Roman Holiday.
it was such a movie, and a lot of my travels certainly felt that way. But yeah, and the goodbye was on the train platform. You know, he's great, he's doing good, by the way. He has a girlfriend,
Is
he's
he's doing
like,
good?
yeah, he's doing good. God bless him.
Don't, yeah.
Whatever, let's give him a fake name. Let's call him Giovanni for the purpose of this.
Giovanni's doing well.
Giovanni's doing great. It's fine, he's not gonna listen to this podcast. It's okay.
We're thinking of you, Giovanni.
Giovanni, wherever you are.
Thoughts and prayers, no matter. Yeah, exactly.
God bless him.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like the right place at the right time for you, right? And it definitely sounds like a magical experience, you know, coming out of this experience or coming out of this time in your life where, you know, you mentioned heartbreak, and then you go to this other place that is very easy to romanticize, even for people like me who've never been, right? And then you have, it seems like it lived up to the hype, you know? And so in terms of it was empowering. You were clean and sober again at that time, you said, or you were getting there and then you fell in love and that like helped you like feel better about where you were.
By the time I got there, I was already sober. When I started backpacking, I had, I would say, a year and 3 months sober. So I was already sober, and it was just a part of that, you know, thing of having this relationship with this guy and being in the city, and it totally lived up to the hype. Rome is like, I can go on and on and on about how fabulous it is, even though, again, it's a regular ass city. And when I was there, I stayed in two places. I stayed someplace quite outside the historical district, and then I stayed for a while really close to St. Peter's Basilica, which is the Vatican. So it was like 15-minute walk to the Vatican, and that was nice. Yeah, it's a vibe.
What was it like being a sober person? I don't know if you considered yourself a recovered person at that point, but yeah, what was that experience like? You know, meetings, fellowship. Did you have a meeting at the
Oh,
did you have a meeting in Vat at the Vatican?
I don't think there's AA in the Vatican. I think they have their spirituality down at the Vatican. I think they're
Oof.
good. They have it, you know.
Yeah, they don't need any outside input.
No, I think they're good. I think they have, yeah. They don't need Bill Wilson to come and tell them. Anyway,
Well,
let this not turn into a Bill Wilson shit talking episode,
no, I get
please.
it. They have their Messiah already. They don't need another one.
Exactly. We don't. We're still waiting, the Jews. Anyway, fellowship. It was quite good. I know I did not consider myself recovered at that point. I did not have the vocabulary to say I'm recovered. Like it
Ah.
wasn't presented to me as a thing that you could say
Yeah.
about yourself. Was I? Probably. But
Interesting.
I, yeah.
I get
Yeah.
that.
It wasn't always very clear, as it is now, as I'm looking back at it.
Yeah.
I do remember the meeting experiences, the Italian fellowship. So there were, I will say this one anecdote about a meeting. There was a sentence I learned in Italian, was the first thing I ever learned in Italian. And I'm gonna botch it, like the pronunciation. Hopefully I won't botch it too much. But it says, perfino un camelo può durare un giorno senza bere. And that means
You said it
even a
wrong,
yeah, exactly.
like, I would fucking know. I was like, that sounds awesome. Anyway.
It says even a camel can go a day without a drink. And I learned that because in the meeting I went to, there was this little camel statue and this little sign that said exactly that in Italian. So it was one of the first things I learned. It was a church basement, in the historic district. Really, really cool fellowship. Some American expats, a lot of Italians that went to this meeting. I met really good friends there. That I later came back and visited. And yeah, just an awesome time. The second meeting, because there were two main locations. There was this one in the historic district, and there was another one in the historic district that was really close to Piazza Venezia. I'm gonna say something about Piazza Venezia. You better have a fucking god when you cross the road at Piazza
Really?
Venezia, because you will get run over. You need to have faith. You need to be determined. You need to be spiritually fit to cross Piazza Venezia. Those Italians, they do not have a soul. They will run you over. 100%.
100%.
Anyway.
I go back to what you were saying when you were in the States and you were like, you're on this bicycle and you're like, but this isn't like I'm in Rome with the teeny tiny cars.
Teeny tiny car. I
But
mean,
the teeny tiny cars will kill you.
they are determined to do so. Italian driving, I could do a whole episode about that, but every time I crossed Piazza Venezia, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. Better be prepared. It's not far from the Spanish Steps. The Spanish Steps are like 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
Also, don't try and sit on the Spanish Steps. They will tell you to get up and scream at you in Italian, the local law enforcement or whatever, the
That
sitting
happens to you a
police.
lot. So you have so far we have two stories of people. Maybe that's another mini episode. There's you getting screamed at for taking a picture next to the American flag, and then there's you getting yelled at the Spanish steps.
I keep getting screamed at foreign languages. It seems to be a, yeah, you're right. It seems to be a thing. Yeah, I mean, they're beautiful. It's very, very pretty. Italy, especially that area. But yeah, you will get, you're not allowed to sit on it. Sure.
I had to look this up because you mentioned the camel, and actually already this story is like it's gonna start out with a lie. So I have this little camel, this mini camel tchotchke, whatever. And I thought that somebody presented it to me in an AA meeting. But now that I think about it again, I think I bought it at an AA bookstore. Because I like the symbolism of it. There's a poem that I remember, and I had to look that up, where the camel each day goes twice to his knees. He picks up his load with the greatest of ease. He walks through the day with his head held high and stays for that day completely dry. I think it sounds like, I think your Italian bit sounds better, but there's that camel symbol, you know?
Well, everything sounds better in Italian, but of course, we're going to talk about camels with a Middle Eastern influence on this podcast.
Of course we will. It's on
Yes.
brand.
Actually, side note, when you drive through the Israeli desert, you have to be really careful because, like, if you hit a camel accidentally, you are dead. Those are fucking beasts. Because
Yeah.
they cross the road, so there's like beware of camel signs. I
Okay.
actually know someone who knows someone who knows someone, which is great,
Okay.
who just like fucking died from like, because the camel is gonna stop the car. You
Oh,
know
it's
what I
like hitting
mean?
a wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're gone if you hit a camel. The
Oh,
camel's
that's so
fine.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not in the American cars, but you know.
The teeny tiny cars.
You're right, teeny tiny cars. Freaking it full circle.
Was
But
gonna
what
say,
I will say
is
what I will say about Rome is I often, you know, going back and looking at the photos, I remember often comparing it to Jerusalem in the way that it has a very specific vibe and a very spiritual vibe. You walk in those streets, and there is something just in the air, whether it's the energy that people put out or like the years of history, where you feel like, oh, like, you know, you walk in the Pantheon, for example. I was much more impressed with the Pantheon or the Roman Forum to walk there than to see the Sistine Chapel. I don't know what it is. There
Oh,
was
yeah.
something, the energy. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Sistine Chapel, I don't know. I went to the Vatican. I wouldn't probably go again.
Yeah.
It was very packed, and like I mean, it's a once in a lifetime experience, but I don't feel the need to do it again. But like, in terms of energy, I would 100% walk the Roman Forum again. It's so powerful, and so you can feel like a lot of people walked here before, you know, for
Yeah.
sure. That's a big part of Rome for me,
Yeah.
is the spiritual aspect of it. Yeah.
How do you think that, I mean, this is like an overall question now. So you have experiences like this, right, where you're going to a very spiritual place and that affects you as a person. And there's this part of your life as well, like the recovery life, right? Which is the recovery of the spirit, the spiritual program. So when you think about the sum total of those experiences, Rome, other places that we might talk to, like, do you think that that has enhanced or otherwise, enhanced your spiritual life in some way?
I mean, if you have carbonara in Rome, I think you'll have a spiritual awakening, probably.
How's it
I mean, no,
different? How's it different
we'll
from
talk about
like,
the
can we say, so can you walk me through the delicate differences between carbonara in Rome and say Olive Garden?
Oh, dude. Okay, I actually want to answer your question, and I will answer your question because I have things to say about it. But now, because I've obviously derailed this conversation,
You're so
I
angry.
remember going, I'm so angry. You can see it on my face. I remember going to Olive Garden in the States. It wasn't immediately after Rome, but I went and I was like, this is hot garbage, is what this is. Yeah, I'm a bit of a, I am a big foodie. And I'm very interested in food, and I love to cook, and I learned so much in Rome about food culture, and yeah, fuck yeah, the eat, pray, love of it all, you know. I definitely ate in Rome. I definitely ate in Rome. It's so good there. Oh my God. And I mean, my best piece of advice, if you want to go eat in Rome, because obviously you just asked for it, is, first of all, don't eat in a place that serves chicken Alfredo, because it's not a authentic Italian place. It's aimed at tourists, American tourists who come, are like, apparently they
Very
came
good.
enough times and asked for chicken Alfredo that the Italians are
Yes.
just like, fuck, okay, we're gonna make
Of fucking course, right?
it.
We might as well have the golden arches there with like chicken Alfredo.
Listen, we can't go a full episode, apparently, or even a mini episode without cheating on the state,
I'll just
so.
stop. Well, it's not. It's McDonald's, which is a global brand, so I'm not shitting on any particular country. Anyway, so no chicken
You tell
Alfredo.
yourself what you need to sleep at night. Yeah, I mean, for me, the big thing about food there was, first of all, it was the self-exploration. So it was really walking through alleyways, finding the spots that had the authentic, you know, menu with the four courses. And then it needed to be affordable, and I did. I mean, I did have pasta every day, I'm not gonna lie. There were points where I was like, I need a salad. No, but the thing is about Italians and pasta though, you have to remember it's really small portions. It's not like store-bought pasta, like we know it. It's like really fresh ingredients, and people walk a lot in Rome, so it's like I
Oh,
didn't feel like I gained too much weight there from eating pasta every day. There's a great pizza place if anyone wants to DM me for the great pizza place next to the not far away from the AA meeting in Rome.
Oh,
I'll give you the address.
was that where the meeting after the meeting was?
The best, you know what? The best meeting after the meeting award goes to the Rome Fellowship
That's
for
what I was.
going to the best pizza place in Italy. And you know, some may argue that it's Napoli, but I have been to Napoli. I've tried the pizza. That Rome meeting after the meeting pizza, that pie is takes the cake for
That's,
sure.
I mean, that's the stuff that I want to hear. You know, because you get used to, there's the, you know, the diner greasy spoon kind of like experience, like the Denny's and below experience of the meeting after the meeting, which I appreciated because it's not something I grew up with, right? But then this is what I expected. So it's like we're gonna have a meeting, and then afterwards we're gonna go someplace that probably should be on TV or something.
I've never thought of it like this, but it really was. The first time I had that slice of pizza, I cried. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm that much attached to like food and smells, and I'm just that person. So I just like not like weeping, but I shattered because it was the best thing I ever had in my life. And then you go and you have gelato in that other place. Hit me up for gelato place for the meeting after the meeting in Rome. It was a dream time. It was one of the best times I've ever had in my life, you know, more to come. And I think going back to the question you asked me, it did change me as a person. Whether that was, you know, the walking those streets, having that journey, having that spirituality, and you know, one of the actual stories that are coming up for me right now was an experience that deeply changed me was a nun story. I have a nun
Oh,
story.
let's go. Let's go with the nuns.
I almost forgot. I'm so glad I remembered because again, the big experience for me when traveling that impacted my spirituality was not so much the place I went to, but it was the fact that I went and I did this thing alone and I was terrified and I didn't know where I was going to stay and I had to find my own higher power within like a city alone, not knowing anyone, right? Within the walls of Rome. God, I'm gonna throw up. But no, it's true.
Within the walls of, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna judge you for lapsing into like poetry during this episode. I feel it's apropos.
I am a hopeless romantic. I really am. I'm a hopeless romantic, and Rome is a romantic city. It just is. It's just a city that brings that out of you. There's something about the people and the culture and the language, and the history. And again, I always compare it to Jerusalem because Jerusalem has the same thing. Both share the fact that they'll never have a a proper metro because you can't dig without finding something of value there.
Actually did wonder about that when you were saying, you know, you compared it to Jerusalem because in perspectives, right? So, growing up in Israel, you're a lot closer to Rome, like that part of the world, than I am. And so when I think about Rome and view it, I mean it's been strictly through media, and this is even with the lens of somebody who's living in the Philippines but with American heart, you know what I mean? So I wonder whether like there wasn't as much of say like a culture shock for you. I wonder whether there's definitely, I think, less difference between the culture that you stepped into in Rome, right, versus like your home culture, versus like if I was going to go there, where I would be some form of like the ugly American tourist, right? Except I don't look exactly like it, but probably those eyes. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
I think I understand. I would also say that Italians remind me very much of the culture in Israel, the Italians and Israelis. The whole of the Mediterranean, very similar people, I would say. So you have, Greece and Turkey and
Yeah, okay.
Italy. I think very similar, very passionate people. Very, I mean, every culture is centered around food, but I think particularly centered around food. And I keep talking about food, but it is, I think, almost a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
In a way, I don't know, that might make zero sense to people, but it does to me. I think that people might imagine me like 300 pounds or something. Whatever is heavier, whatever is heavy in pounds.
Yeah.
Because I
I
talk about fruit so fucking much.
was gonna say, did you just have to try to, did you just convert? You're like, did you just try to do
I
the
don't know
conversion
how to
between
convert
kilos
that.
and pounds? Yeah. No, I think that there might be a specific like sub pop, that's gonna think that. But for other people, you mentioned carbs, but then people walking around. It's kind of like here, the amount of rice that the average person consumes because of climate, because of lifestyle. Because of probably just the state of food, I find someone's, okay, so my experience is like here, obesity has only become a problem when people started eating more of like the processed shit that comes from not from here. But before
Yes. Oh my
then, I
God.
didn't really
Yes.
see that as much, Certainly not in the, because I can step outside right now and like you were talking about the mamoncinos, right? Which is not Italian, but like the rambutan. And
It's a fruit, by the way,
it's a
to
fruit. It's
anyone
an
who,
awesome
yeah.
fruit. And it's like I'll walk outside of the building right now and plant a tree and then start to nurture it and it'll just grow. And that's not something
Yeah.
that was an experience that I had in the States, right? Where you could just like, let's just plant something and grow. So, but going back to
100%.
you reminded me of like my first couple years in Boston, because I was in college, I got lumped into with the international kids, and so I had some friends who, and it's probably because of those commonalities in culture that you talk about. So it was like the Turkish kids hanging out with the Moroccan kids, hanging out with like, right, the Israeli kids, and then and I just was tagging along because we were part of like the international students group. But then it always, there was that imposter syndrome, right? Because like we'd go out to a club and they'd be standing there looking all cool, and then I would try to do that and stand in the corner with like my clove cigarettes or whatever. And it's like, it's just, I'm not, one of these things is not like the other, right? Like the one thing we
It's
have in common is that we're not from here, but I cannot relate to any of these experiences that you guys are talking about, culturally or
Oh
travel-wise
my
or what.
God. It's so funny that you mentioned it. It's like the too cool for school Mediterranean vibe.
It
It's fake.
is.
It's
It
not
is.
it's not real. It's just I think it's the chill. It's something in the ocean. It
Is that
doesn't
what
have
it
any
is?
waves in it, Yeah.
Plus, I was
I
like
think.
18 or 19, and I don't know how old they were, but they all looked like, they all acted as if, I was like, are you guys all like 30?
Probably all it's probably all that trauma or something. If
Yikes.
we're talking about that part of the world.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the thing, like I need to remember mentioning, like talking about this because it's so interesting, like the effect of like fast food on certain countries. We have it here in the tropics. I live in Central America and we have the same thing of like the food culture is just kind of taking over the local food culture. And I just wanted to kind of touch on that next time when we do a Central America slash Philippines episode.
Yeah, or the
That's
processed food
super
episode.
interesting. Processed foods episode coming right up after more about hummus, which is an actual episode. More about
Is.
hummus is going to drop at some point.
I cannot wait. And actually, that's the thing. So, mental note for episodes to come, find ways to antagonize slash inspire you because of your love for food.
So I have a lot to say about the more about hummus episode. It's gonna be a full length episode, but we'll touch on it.
We'll touch on
No, I
it.
just oh, should I tell the nun story? Because that's
Shit.
a
We
very
never.
spiritual story.
Yes, please.
We never take the nun story. It was one of the wildest experiences I've ever had, and I completely forgot about it up until I was preparing for this episode, like, I don't know, like 20 minutes before we started.
Very professional. We are very professional.
It's a professional platform here, but so I was living in not in the historic center, quite far off. It would take me a long time to get to the historic center because it was just cheaper. And I was getting groceries, and I got out of the grocery store, the little teeny tiny European grocery store. And then I saw this nun, and she was loading like huge amounts of like milk and eggs into the trunk of her car. Actually, she was Filipino, by the way.
Oh,
And
okay.
all the other nuns
About to
I
say.
met after that, yeah, were Filipino, which is part of the story. But I was helping her out, and she was very confused by me. And I was confused by her being confused. And she was like, "Oh, like, oh, who are you? Like, what are you doing here?" Da, da. And she thought I was Ukrainian, because I guess everything about me and my appearance told her that.
So strange. Irish and then now Ukrainian.
I get white people.
Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you
Yeah,
get.
more about our Jewish people white in the next episode. But just to piss people further. But I was helping her out, and I told her, "No, I'm from Israel. I'm backpacking." And we exchanged numbers, and a few days later, I get this text from Sister. God, I can't remember her name now.
Maria
I
Clara,
feel
something
bad.
I got soon.
Something like that. And she told me, I mentioned to the other nuns in the covenant that I met you, and I wanted to invite you to our covenant.
What?
I am an Israeli girl backpacking. I don't know what they do to nice Jewish girls at the covenant. I was like, I don't know what to do with this invitation. Like, what will happen to me? What do you want from me? I was a bit hesitant. But then I was like, well, it's a church. Like, I don't think bad things don't happen at churches, right?
You'll spontaneously combust as soon as you
Yeah,
cross the
like, I don't know what
threshold.
will happen to me. But I went because I was like, this is going to be an experience. So I met with her, and I met with all the nuns. We had like this breakfast together, and I met the Mother Superior, and we talked. It was a really interesting conversation because they spoke, I believe they spoke Tagalog and Italian.
Oh,
And
wow.
again, my Italian was not great. So we somehow communicated. Then one of them spoke English, so it was easier. But they took me through the grounds. They showed me the school. They showed me all the history. They explained it to me. They all took pictures with me. Again, you have that Israelite weirdness. But we had such an interesting conversation. I got to meet these lovely women who embraced me. And we talked about travel and education and God and spirituality in this covenant in Rome. And it was just wild and absurd and wonderful, and really, the goes to show, I think, the similarities rather than the
Yeah.
differences, and that even the differences are great. And I'm just so thankful. I'm like, who gets to have that experience,
Yeah.
It was wild.
Not, I mean, not many people. I do want to go because you mentioned the Israeli weird. So did you once again find yourself experiencing that, like they look at you as the Jewish unicorn thing? Like, were you getting a lot of questions about like what was it like growing up in the Holy Land?
We did talk about the Holy Land, but and they basically laid this thing for me, which is for them, it's like the height of their ambitions to go
Okay.
there and serve there, and how exclusive it is to be a nun there. But
Right.
which is interesting to me, but it was very respectful.
Okay.
And I can look at it and like try and nitpick it, but I think that they were really respectful, and whatever their kind of motive to do it was. I ended up living with a very positive experience. They mentioned to me that I was the first Israelite, the first Jewish person to visit.
Wow.
And I think in Judaism, we have a lot of rules about, being exposed to certain things. And I'm very glad for my time in Rome because I did go into all the churches and I went to the Vatican and I saw these things. And I don't think it in any way, shape, or form took away from my faith in my God. It only contributed to the strength of it. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing about your experience in Rome.
Thank you, Pirate Mike. It was awesome. And yeah, go eat some pasta.
Go eat some pasta. We'll have a nervous pee, and then we'll be right back.